Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We've won 8 in a row. I'm not talking trash to their squad or Akeem or anything. That's just facts. We've had a good run since that Monday night game in 2010, and 7 in a row in the regular season, and obviously 1 in the postseason. Great place to play. They got a fantastic fan base. They know when to cheer. They're loud. They're involved in the game. The field has always been kind of a wild card. The length of the grass over the years has been interesting. I've always complimented Robbie when he was there forever, and our kicker, Mason, for the difficulties in kicking in the lake effect down there and the weather up here. It's we've had some great games over the years there, some fun ones, some memorable ones, some you'd like to forget, like 07 and the cold there, 08 and the cold on that night game. But we've had some big memories there also, thinking like 2013 was a fun one.
Aaron Rodgers ready to take on the Bears at Soldier Field on Sunday at noon. They're trying to keep their flickering playoff hopes alive. Here to talk about that for the Green Bay Press Gazette is a guy you can follow on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. He is Ryan Wood. He joins the Bernstein and McKnight Show on the Aurelio's Pizza Hotline. It's the sauce. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
We're good. How much of this, of our projection of the new free Aaron Rodgers thing is real, and how much is just him not necessarily in full space command with the coach he dislikes gone, but just trying to go along with whatever the rest of this season is bringing?
Well, he looked pretty good last Sunday. The offense looked pretty good. It looked like an actual offense, unlike much of this season. It's not like he went out there and threw 500 yards and 5 touchdowns, or, you go back to 2014 when the Bears came up to Lambeau Field. I think Aaron Rodgers had something like 6 touchdowns by the early third quarter. It wasn't one of those type of games. But it looked better. It looked more structured. The pre-snap communication was more fluid, smoother, more efficient. There were improvements, and they were subtle, but they made a difference. The question, of course, is the big question is, can they now take that onto the road where they haven't won this year? And not just that, but against the Chicago team that just dominated the best offense in the NFL. I mean, it's completely different than doing that at home against a completely disinterested Atlanta Falcons team that has now lost 5 straight. So it's totally different this week. But, yeah, I mean, it looked good for one game in a small sample size post Mike McCarthy.
Ryan, in looking forward to the next head coach of the Green Bay Packers, what sense do you get about the biggest changes that have happened to the decision-making processes as the decision makers have kind of changed and their power structure has changed?
Well, for almost 3 decades, it was the general manager making all the football decisions. Now it's not. It's Mark Murphy, the president and CEO. The biggest change this year for the new GM going from Ted Thompson to Brian Gutekunst to the new head coaching staff, the fact that they don't have for the first time in 13 years Mike McCarthy run the operation, the biggest change is the structure. Bob Harlan, when he hired Ron Wolf in the early 90s, and this is the fable, Ron Wolf would not have taken that job if not for the autonomy that he was granted, complete autonomy of the football operation, which meant that he got to decide everything football. That's not the case anymore. Now it's Mark Murphy in January when they went from Ted Thompson and Brian Gutekunst to change the structure so that he is atop the football hierarchy now, whereas Bob Harlan before him, his predecessor, and Mark Murphy until January was on the business side of things. And Brian Gutekunst reports directly to Mark Murphy, but so too does the head coach, and so too does their chief negotiator, basically, Russ Ball, as a triumvirate. So that's a huge change. I mean, it's the biggest change of the year, the fact that no longer is the GM making the football decisions, but Mark Murphy's in that seat.
What's the effect of that change?
It's just that, look, Ron Wolf has a gold jacket for a reason. He was a Hall of Famer. And when Ron Wolf says he would not have taken the job basically under the structure, how it's laid out now, it's hard not to listen to that. There's a reason why Green Bay has had a lot of success over the years. Number one, the quarterback play, obviously, between Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. But the fact that there's always been, what's made them different than any other team in the league, is that there hasn't been an owner lording over football. It's been the GM. It's been someone who has come up through the scouting at an NFL level, whether it's personnel with players or coaches, and now that's no longer the case. So that's the effect of the change. It's not a quote-unquote football person making the football decisions. Now, to be fair to Mark Murphy, he won a Super Bowl as a player. He's not like a lot of owners. He's much more of a football person than the vast majority of owners in the league. He actually played in the league at a high level. So, but what he hasn't done that Brian Gutekunst has done is scout and evaluate talent at an NFL level. He hasn't done that, and that's a pretty big difference.
If Aaron Rodgers were given the ability to hire his next head coach, who would he be looking for?
That's a great question. I think he would want someone who is not just offensively innovative, but someone that can be also collaborative. And that relationship between Aaron Rodgers and whoever the next head coach is going to be paramount. It's going to be very crucial because the relationship is important. And not just here in Green Bay. It's a head coach and quarterback's league. So for all 32 teams, the relationship between the head coach and the quarterback matters, and it's very important. But especially here with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who is of his caliber, a future Hall of Fame quarterback. I in terms of names, I don't know that he has any preferences, but I think in his heart of hearts, he wants an offensive guy who can implement and be kind of pioneering and stay on the forefront of where the league is going with his offenses now, but also be able to take his expertise into account as well.
I floated this when we had Ian Rappaport on a couple hours ago. The idea that some of these rumors regarding Vic Fangio, and yet it's probably just facile story chasing right now because of the game coming up and the success of the defense, I understand that. But really, when you play it out, maybe it would behoove the Packers to, if it were to be Fangio, let's do this, an older, defensive-minded head coach who then wouldn't really have to engage Aaron Rodgers in a way that Mike McCarthy did, smooths it all out to then allow that next process to be a collaborative one, to have Aaron Rodgers find just the right offensive coordinator to have that side of the ball more autonomously. Maybe things run a bit smoother, and that would immediately diffuse tension between head coach and veteran Hall of Fame bound quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, there's reasons why Vic Fangio as a rumor would make sense. No one in the league right now better understands how to have a dominant defense than Vic Fangio, not just because of Chicago, but obviously San Francisco. You look at what he's done this decade, it's been awfully, awfully impressive. His offensive coordinator hire, if he would become a head coach, not just here, but anywhere, would be extremely important. I mean, that would be very important. But there are young position coaches in the league that perhaps could you know, take that next step to a coordinator role and could fit there. The biggest thing for me that I just don't see the fit with Vic Fangio in Green Bay is this guaranteed that this is going to happen, but it's hard not to think that ideally the Packers would like to keep Mike Pettine, who is under contract, in the defensive coordinator role that he is in, and let him continue developing this defense. Because if you look, they've made strides from the last couple of years with Dom Capers. I mean, by the end of the Dom Capers era, the defense had really gotten off the rails, and it's been much sounder. It's not a good defense yet, but it's not been a bad defense this year like it has been the past couple of years. So do what maybe the Bears did last year, where they brought in the offensive guy, when they brought in a Matt Nagy, and then they had Vic Fangio retained as defensive coordinator. It just makes a lot of sense. I think that's certainly a possibility. I don't know if that's where Mark Murphy's leaning right now, but it's not hard to see why that could be a good fit to go with the offensive head coach and keep a Mike Pettine in place.
Taking a deeper look at the Packers, the Bears' next opponent, with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press-Gazette here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Ryan, how does the front office feel about their team really? Are they a good head coach hire and a move or two from being a 10-win team again in their eyes, or does the roster need more than that?
I think there's going to be a lot. This is just a hunch. There's going to be a lot of turnover this year. Brian Gutekunst is in a really weird spot where he's rebuilding the roster without it being a rebuild, because so long as you have Aaron Rodgers a quarterback, it's never going to be a rebuild. You're a contender because he's that type of guy. It's like the NBA having LeBron James. You're going to be a contender in that league because of one guy. The Packers are a contender with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback because he's that good. But you look, I mean, they need real help at safety. They have almost nothing at edge rush. The offensive side of the ball, they've got the pieces there. They've got more pieces. They've got a franchise left tackle, David Bakhtiari. They've got a dynamic running back in Aaron Jones. They've got a true number one receiver in Devontae Adams and a receiving group that is really well stocked with young talent behind him. But guard is a big question. Right tackle is a big question. There's questions on that side of the ball, too. So there's a lot of work to do, but you can't call it a rebuild because it's Aaron Rodgers, a quarterback, and they're going to be on the short list in 2019 for Super Bowl contenders. That's just the reality of the situation, so long as Aaron Rodgers is taking snaps.
We heard Aaron Rodgers mention the name Mason Crosby. At first he said our kicker, and then he said Mason specifically in the comments that we played leading into your appearance here, Ryan. How does the Packers' relationship with Crosby, how should that inform a Bears fan who's dealing with the Cody Parkey roller coaster this year, in that you have a commitment made to an established veteran kicker with a track record, and then you go through some stomach-churning moments, yet they stuck by him. They stick by him. They don't bring in the caravan of kickers and go through the motions of having people try out for his job. What's to be learned from the history there?
And I think it depends on the guy. With Mason Crosby especially, he's a guy that's proven himself in the postseason. You'll go back a couple years to the kicks, like the 50-yard plus kicks that he made in Dallas in the divisional round to send the Packers into the NFC title game. He's made big kicks. And the other factor to keep in mind, obviously you go back several years to 2012 when he plummeted. They stuck with him then, but it wasn't for free. I mean, he had to rework his contract, and there was some accountability on his part, and he, to his credit, responded positively to that. But a big, you know, Mason Crosby's had a tough year this year. He's missed some kicks against Minnesota and the tie early this season at Detroit. But there's more factors in the field goal battery than just the kicker. And in the Packers situation here, they've been tinkering with long snapper and holder the past couple of years. This year they have a rookie long snapper, a rookie holder. I think that there's reason to believe here that you let those pieces, that battery gel together and move them together, the three of them, into next season. It should only improve as an operation. So, yeah, I mean, it depends on the guy. If from a team standpoint, if you really believe that the guy that you have in that spot is the guy that can come up in big moments, and you're going to see him if you're a contender like the Bears this year, like the Packers had then you stick by him, even if there are some moments that do turn your stomach a little bit.
Ryan, looking at Sunday's game, Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator there, threw a lot more zone at Mitch Trubisky in week one than the second-year quarterback expected. He said so after the game. Is that kind of combination of defenses something that you expect for this week, or has the Green Bay defense changed some or a lot from week one?
They've certainly changed a lot. Kevin King started the year as their top corner and is on IR. The attrition has really caught up to this defense. And on top of that, anytime you've got divisional games and you're playing the same opponent for the second time in a season, you've got the first game, and then you've got the counterpunch to the first game, because if you tried out doing the exact same thing, they've already seen it. So I think you're going to see differences. What's really, you know, the real flavor for Mike Pettine's defense is a lot of blitzes on third down this year. They've been pretty vanilla on first and second down, but they get you into third down, and not only are they coming after you, but they're doing it creatively. They're coming from all kinds of different areas on the field. That's been the real trademark this year. As far as coverages, there was a mix last week against Atlanta of zone and some mostly man covers. They matched their rookie Jair Alexander against Julio Jones in man. So I think you're probably going to see Jair Alexander match against whatever matchup they feel best against Chicago. That's been kind of what they've done the past couple of weeks, but certainly the third down blitzing has been the hallmark.
Not for nothing, but is Clay Matthews done as a Green Bay Packer after this season? He's an unrestricted free agent, as best I can tell. Is he done in the NFL?
It's a really good question. I don't think so. I think the next step in his evolution. Look, he's not a double digit sack guy.
No,
he's not a guy that should count, you know, 10 million plus against a cap either. He's got 3.5 sacks this year, but as an off ball linebacker, which he has a lot of history, he played a season and a half, and even got to a Pro Bowl as an off ball linebacker. There's still, I think, some value there. So on the right deal, maybe $5 million a year, I do think that Clay Matthews has value, not just to the Packers, but maybe to the rest of the league. His market's not going to be robust, because when you have 3.5 sacks and you're north of 30, it just isn't. But a lot of Packers fans up here, I think, have written off the possibility that Clay Matthews could return. And it's not a done deal by any means. But I wouldn't be surprised if he was back on the right deal, just because what he can do as a playmaker around the field, not an edge rusher, but as a playmaker off the line of scrimmage, it's something that a good defense could use.
Ryan, that was outstanding information. We appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Take care.
That is Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.